Moncrief on News Talk.
Minister for Justice Jim O'Callaghan recently announced plans to introduce a bill that would require end-to-end encrypted messaging services such as WhatsApp and Signal to give Gardaí access to private texts and chats. But how does that line up with our right to privacy? And is it even possible to do this in a way that targets criminal elements rather than simply monitoring us all? Simon McGarr is a solicitor and managing director of Data Compliance Europe, and he joins me in studio now. Good afternoon, Simon.
Good afternoon.
So in what ways are our current laws around this outdated, do you think?
Well, first of all, we have to recognise that the current laws were written long before there were any idea of internet messaging at all. The foundation law is 1983. And in those days, if you wanted a phone tapped, someone had to arrive out at a local box and physically stick a box in order to tap it. And there was a little tape player and everything. So it's a completely different world now. The difficulty is that the minister is using the idea of, well, the phone tapping law is out of date to focus on something which is entirely different. It's person-to-person communications under encryption. And obviously, if you wish to run a panopticon where you can see everything happening in society all at once, then you must be able to access encryption. And the two primary countries who have fought for this up until now have been Hungary inside the EU, who are promoting this at an EU level. They were promoting it beginning at the end of last year when they had the European presidency, and it was defeated just in December. And before that, it was Russia, Putin's Russia. So we're not really in great stead in terms of our intellectual bedfellows as to who we're going along with when we're trying to say we need to break encryption. Yeah. I mean, it's important to recognise that's what the actual request is. Because end-to-end encryption means that there's no way for the platform, your Apple for iMessage is end-to-end encrypted, or your WhatsApp, for the platform to read it along the way. Mm. It's only readable on your device or on my device if I send you a message. Mm. The problem is that the minister kind of wants to have a chocolate teapot, a thing that isn't possible while still working.
Okay.
So he wants to have encryption that is still secure, but also has a backdoor for guards only.
Okay.
And there's no secure method, and this is globally acknowledged up to the UN. The UN High Commissioner on Privacy recently did a report on this. There's no method where you can introduce a backdoor into encryption, which is just a matter of maths, which does not allow other bad parties to get in and only allows goodies to get in through the door.
Yeah.
So there was an example of this in the US quite recently. It turned out that a backdoor had been opened into the mobile phone telephone encryption system to allow domestic surveillance by US security services and the FBI and so on. Lo and behold, it turns out that Chinese spies had also climbed in through the same backdoor and were monitoring potentially millions of US phone users, including, as it turned out, the vice president, because he was on the network that had been compromised. So you're looking at something where the minister wants something. He has announced his plan to legislate for it, but he hasn't said in what way is this both possible and legal.
Mm.
And we've already had decisions on this from both the European Court of Justice, that's the EU's top court, the Court of Justice of the EU, and we've had it from the European Court of Human Rights in Strasbourg. And the Court of Human Rights actually heard a case in 2022, and it said it's disproportionate to damage everybody's privacy of communications by breaking encryption. It was on exactly this point, and it therefore would be illegal under the European Convention on Human Rights to do it.
Okay.
And meanwhile, in the EU court, there was a decision that the balancing of rights was disproportionate if you interfered with everybody's rights in relation to communication security. And that was only on metadata. That was like about the content, but it wasn't the content of messages itself. So this is a more severe interference.
Yeah. If we were to adopt this, though, would it not help us solve crimes quicker? No.
Well, we would be committing a crime in the sense that it would be illegal.
Okay.
So we would have a national illegal gathering service. And what we saw with the Graham Dwyer case is that when you collect evidence using an illegal system, which is what happened in relation to the data retention, which fortunately was not the only basis on which his conviction could be upheld, and therefore he wasn't released on appeal. But he did win the appeal that the information being collected illegally And you can't rely on information which is knowingly collected illegal in convictions. Mm. So all you do is you create insecurity and uncertainty in relation to criminal convictions.
Yeah. What sort of security vulnerabilities then do you think this would create in Ireland?
Well, take, for example, the question of a security at a security level. Once you break encryption on a WhatsApp, we'll take it. You now have no secure messaging in respect of the members of those of that platform. And people say all kinds of things in their WhatsApp messages. And those WhatsApp messages could introduce grounds for foreign states to interfere, but they could also introduce grounds for criminal gangs to infiltrate those. We have seen that at Europol level, where they acknowledge that actually breaking encryption in the Europol system introduced new and very dangerous criminal activity possibilities, because you suddenly had grounds for blackmail. You had grounds for people being contacted who were in sensitive positions and their messages had been accessed and it could be used against them to force them to do things that otherwise wouldn't be available.
Mm.
So you're quite apart from the fact that you have personal rights, and those rights are legally protected by the Charter of Fundamental Rights.
Mm-hmm.
You also have just practical problems.
Yeah.
If you don't have secure messaging, you don't have a secure method of talking to your bank. You don't have a secure method of getting information from your bank.
Mm.
You don't know that the message you're receiving is the one that was sent to you. So this is all very serious. And it's why only a few countries have taken these steps. And those countries would not be the ones that you would imagine Ireland would want to associate itself with as a liberal democracy.
Yeah. So what would you be suggesting then in terms of laws that could be enacted to help the Gardaí in this regard?
Well, in the end, the question is it appropriate for the Gardaí to to break encryption? And the answer is no. That's not my answer. That's the answer from the European Court of Human Rights. And that's the answer from the Court of Justice of the EU. And that's the answer from the United Nations High Commissioner. So we don't want to help the state to do something they ought not do.
Mm.
We have to. What we hope is that the state will recognise there should be limits to their power, and that they would recognise those limits without being forced to acknowledge them by court cases.
Mm.
That the minister should recognise there are some things in which we should do, and there are some things which we cannot and ought not do.
Yeah. On WhatsApp, then, are there any nefarious reasons as to why they would want to maintain encryption?
No, there's a very basic commercial reason. Encryption on WhatsApp is a key part of its commercial offering. And if they break encryption, they break the attractiveness of it as a platform for messaging, secure messaging. And there are lots of other secure messaging platforms which would be available, and people will just migrate to the most secure one.
Yep.
And the consequence of that is, of course, you go from a platform which is within the jurisdiction and which plays by the rules and which is under, you know, data protection requirements, commercial requirements, all under Irish laws and EU laws. And eventually you push people to migrate to entities and platforms that are outside all of those protections, that might be based elsewhere, that might be less reliable, that you don't have any way of contacting the people in charge, you don't have any way of assisting, getting other forms of assistance that would otherwise be available.
Fascinating. It's all connected. Simon Mogar, Solicitor and Managing Director of Data Compliance Europe, thank you so much for joining me in studio. Much appreciated.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.